go back to when President Trump was candidate Trump. There was a crisis, quote unquote, from before he was even elected president. And do you remember which that was? Which crisis that was? There's been so many crises, one after another, since Donald Trump announced his presidency, that you can't keep up anymore. You've lost track. You can't remember every existential crisis that we've lived through that was going to end the world as we knew it. Six, seven, eight of them. And I bring this up because looking at the data of the current crisis we're in, you realize there's no merit for it. Yes, people have died. Yes, it is a real virus. But when you look at the data and you look at the response and you look at the fear that we all see on social media, in person, wherever, it doesn't justify it. It doesn't warrant it. When you look at the data, it doesn't warrant it. But the media is playing it up. The politicians are playing it up. And it calls for us to be wise Christians. Because when everything is a crisis, then nothing is a crisis. And that is how we should treat it. Let's talk about that today. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show, tagging a friend. I really appreciate all of you that share and share it with somebody who you think will find value in it. I really appreciate it. It helps us grow. We're part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Over to flfnetwork.com. Put in HGBT in a memo field. Get a sweet 15-ounce mug. Get a shirt. Get tons of other great benefits. And most of all, do not miss our conference that is coming up October 1st through the 3rd, Nashville, Tennessee. I'd love to see you there. Where is already rumors of Belvini being spread throughout the hotel rooms. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm bringing my family. Got to be careful with that stuff. Just kidding. I actually love it. It's fantastic. And I do not have a drinking problem, I promise, even though I try to make jokes on the contrary. If you want to email me, you can email me at howtobuildtent.com. Find me on all the social media sites, howtobuildtent, including Parler, where I am not censored. And I appreciate that very much. All right. So we need to recognize the environment that we're in. And this is important if you're running a church, pastor, elder, if you're running a business, entrepreneur, CEO, if you're running your family, husband. You need to be wise and you need to pray for wisdom that God gives freely to those who are not double-minded, as it says in James. Because we're living in a time where information is instant. And what happens is the news, the hysteria, the fears become exponentially bigger at a faster rate than ever before. And I think this coronavirus, and a large part, I've heard other people say this, this isn't my term, is the first social media pandemic. That is, the fear, the stories, the outrage, the demands for things to be done are based on the social media sharing and the platforms that we are all on that have instantaneous knowledge, instantaneous access to knowledge and information. Information is correct and incorrect. And I just wanted to read you some of these percentages because the media and the government do a great job of leveraging this and leveraging the crises that have happened. I was teasing before. Do you remember the first crisis since Donald Trump was announced that he was going to run as a candidate? And I might be wrong on this one, but I'm pretty sure this is the first one. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can comment wherever you see the show. I appreciate that. The first crisis was he wasn't going to accept the results of the election. When Hillary Clinton was going to win, it wasn't if, it was when Hillary Clinton was going to win, would he go quietly into the night? Ironically, Hillary didn't do that. But that was the first crisis. The democracy was in jeopardy of the United States because Donald Trump did not say that he was just going to hands down walk away regardless of what was going to happen in the election. Turns out he was really wise in not committing to that because as of today, we are being told that we need billions of dollars for the United States Postal Service to send millions and millions of voter ID or voter slips. What do we vote on? Voter forms, voter things to voters. And we still are having a mess with it and seeing 10%, I think it was 10 or 15% of the mail returned to sender because it didn't, their votes didn't get counted. There's a big, huge mess that's going on in all the elections that are using this mail-in ballot system. And there's been a crisis ever since then. I was pulling up, we've obviously, the one of the crises was, let's see, the immigration. Remember the wall and people, the children being locked up. It turns out those were President Obama's pictures and videos that were being used to say Donald Trump was doing this, but President Obama was actually the one that those videos and pictures were taken from. Then there was obviously the Trump-Russia probe. Then there was all the mass shootings and what Trump was going to do. El Paso, Vegas, I believe that was during Trump's, I can't even remember all of them, but there was this huge thing with mass shootings. Then it was the drugs and the opioids and obvious climate change. That's never going to go away. Brexit was going to be the end of the world and how Donald Trump was responsible for that and all the hysteria and the world was going to fall apart and all the trade deals were going to fall apart and England was going to fall off the map. The US-China trade war, that was going to be, oh, it's going to be a disaster for the economy. North Korea, remember Donald Trump's tweets? He was going to start a nuclear war with North Korea. There was all of these crises over and over again. And now, of course, we are in the corona crisis. And you have to say, okay, if we've had all of these world-ending crises from the moment Trump was elected till now, then we have to assume that after the coronavirus is over, there's going to be another one. There's going to be another one that is advocated for by the press, that is backed and endorsed by the governments in some forms, and that is going to be shared around in social media, and emotions are going to be leveraged. Emotions are going to be leveraged. And we have to recognize the pattern, and we have to recognize the fruit of all of these messages and all of these calls for concern or restrictions or whatever their calls are for, depending on what the crisis is, and realize that the amplification of them is far greater than warranted by the facts. And since we are in the coronavirus one, I want to just read some of them. And I'm going to start with some of the facts from the coronavirus crisis, because that's the one we're in. I read these on Reformgelical with A.D. Robles Thursday night. If you haven't checked out that show, you should really do it. That was a good show. So this is from Steve Dace. And some of you were emailing me, asking me what his Twitter was, because his last name is spelled differently than it sounds. But Steve, D-E-A-C-E. And that I got on Facebook, not on his Twitter, on his Facebook. So he said, today is 150th day, and this was Thursday, so this was last week, the 15 days to flatten the curve. Remember that? We needed to quarantine for 15 days so the hospitals wouldn't be overwhelmed, and then we can go back to work, and that's what it was. The hospitalizations was the issue of quarantine, and look where we are now, right? Again, it's from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Only 3% of ER visits for COVID symptoms. Only 3% of ER visits for COVID symptoms. 3%. 1.9% of active cases are actually hospitalized. Only 0.014% of Americans are hospitalized with COVID. Only 0.7% of Americans are currently positive cases of COVID, have positive cases. The median age of death is 78 for COVID, which is the average life expectancy in the US. So the average age that someone dies with COVID is the average age that someone dies in the United States anyways, before this happened. Not to diminish the deaths from these. Obviously, it is a real virus. It does impact people. But statistically, it is not significant and it doesn't warrant what we are doing to ourselves. And the deaths that are caused by the reactions and the emotions and the hysteria and the choices by the government, including more deaths by COVID. Let's not forget and let's not let our government off the hook for the people that forced COVID patients into convalescent homes, that forced COVID patients into these elderly care facilities. Luckily, my governor didn't do that in Florida. And let's also not let off the hook like Donald Trump, who advocated for shutting down and advocated for this hysteria. He didn't stand up to it. In the beginning, maybe he didn't know. But after a while, we're at a place right now where everyone is responsible that is acting because we have the data now. Everyone who is making decisions that are poor and positive, like if you're, what was it, South Dakota, North Dakota, I mean, Sweden, Those people deserve the attaboys and the pats on the backs for this. As of 1 hour ago on Twitter, Kyle Lamb, I retweeted this if you want to look this up, how to build a tent. It breaks down the regions of the United States from 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3 are northeast. ER visits for COVID symptoms now down to 1.8% nationally, which means 98.2% of ER visits are for something else. 1.8% are in the hospital for COVID. And what I've heard is some people that work in hospitals, again, this is anecdotal, this isn't proof, and the end all, it's anecdotal. But a lot of people are so freaked out that they have it, they go to the hospital even though they don't necessarily need to go to the hospital. Their symptoms aren't that severe, but they're checked in, what the hospital takes them in. So a lot of this is people just in fear and hysteria. Again, and there are people that have major effects from it. I'm not diminishing that at all. But we've shut down the economy. It was 15 days. And how many days has it been now? 150. And this is a place that we're in. And this is, again, more judgment from God because of our wicked leaders that we have and the wicked people that have elected them, including people in church. We're not off the hook yet, hook either, as a church. Is that we have leaders who won't admit they're wrong. They won't take responsibility for their actions, and neither will the media. And so what has to happen is there needs to be a way that they won't get the blame, that we could get out of this situation where they won't be held responsible. And at the same time as they're trying to find a way to get out of this without getting the blame put on them, they're using this as a crisis that shouldn't go to waste. And they're using it to bail out the Postal Service. They're using this to bail out states that are drowning in debt. They're using these opportunities to increase the government. And so you have these two forces going on. And then you might be asking, why aren't we out of this yet? The data is here. Why isn't everyone looking at the data? Why isn't everyone paying attention? Why are we still listening to our governors and lesser magistrates when they're telling us to quarantine, when they're telling us not to go to church, when they're telling us we can't make a living for our family, when they're telling us our doors to our businesses can't open, that we can't go out without a mask, that we need to possibly wear goggles, that we need to possibly wear stars on our chest or circles, yellow circles on our children who haven't been vaccinated yet? It's for two main reasons. One is our government and our leaders will not take responsibility for their actions and for the wrong that they have committed against us. And two, we have evil people that are using this to their advantage to grow the government, grow authority, use bailouts, get cash out payments, use all of these subsidies, benefits, all this stuff, bailout packages. They're using this as an opportunity. And we need to take this data and throw it in their face and say, no more. We're not going to do it. We're not putting yellow stars or yellow circles on our kids' chest. We're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to close down our businesses and starve to death. We're not going to run up debt. We're going to honor our responsibilities to the people that we have responsibilities to. We're going to take care of our families. We're going to worship God. We're not going to shut down anymore. These are the things that warrant the data. These actions are justified by the data, and we need to leverage it, or we're going to continue to sit back and let these things happen. We're going to let people be held unaccountable. They're not going to be held accountable. We're going to continue to let the power grabs grab until we fight back by opening churches, by opening up our businesses, by not submitting to these lawless, unconstitutional acts. Because the data is on our side, and that's just for this. Now, think of it big picture, outside of COVID. It's crisis after crisis after crisis. There's going to be another crisis. COVID isn't it. See, the state and the enemy, unlike Big Eva, isn't worried about political capital that they spend. They're not worried about it. They have infinite amounts because political capital is a figment of the imagination. It is used to intimidate and suppress people that are standing up for their principles. They say, don't spend your political capital on this. And they let you compromise and you compromise and you compromise because you don't want to spend political capital on these little things. And then when the big things comes, you're so compromised, you can't stand for the big things. As business leaders, as pastors, as elders, as leaders of our families, we need to realize and recognize that these crises are being used against us to tear away our freedoms, to tear away the sovereignty that God ordained for us in our spheres, wherever they are. And we need to address them and confront them biblically with the knowledge and wisdom that God has given us. That these aren't the crises that are being painted. These aren't the crises that are being shared on social media. They're just not. The data proves it. And we need to be wise and we need to be discerning, because that's how we're going to be successful in our business, in our government, in our families, in our places of worship. You look at the data. Don't look at the hype. Don't look at the fears. And unfortunately, we can't look at our leaders either, because they'll lie to us. They'll cover. They don't want to take responsibility, and they're not going to take responsibility. And in fact, they're going to use it to take more money from you by spending it on special interest, which will cost you either in higher interest rates or future debt that your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids are going to have to pay off. In a world full of unlimited data, we need wisdom more than ever. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.